Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett. I got Kyle.
It's festive in here.
I know. Kyle's blowing like bubbles at me, trying to get me to laugh during this intro.
It worked.
And we have a very special guest. You might have heard some female giggling. It's because we have a special guest. Welcome back to the show. Steph Hino, welcome back, Steph.
Some bubbles Thanks coming your way, me. Too.
Ooh, celebration introduction bubbles.
Hey, I mean, there's just some bubbles on the table, so I'm like, why let them go to waste when we can... Brett, there's something for you, too.
Kyle's just really, really excited today because he gets the opportunity to be the host today because he told me that on weeks that I speak, I don't have to host, so he gets to host this episode. So I'm handing it off to Kyle.
Hey, so Damon, what do you want to talk about?
All right. Okay. Well, anyway, we are starting a new series called Anyone Can Cook.
Hey, that's my
You
job.
Just asked me what we're talking
that
about,
was,
so I'm sharing what we're talking
being
about.
Facetious. Okay, yeah. So we're starting a new episode on Multigen Sundays.
New series, not a new episode.
New this series. Okay, come on, new series.
You're off because we took last week off.
I just blew too many bubbles, and it's called Anyone Can Cook, which. Surprised me because when I heard you talk about it a couple weeks ago, it was a different title or a different name. And then I'm like, okay, is he just teasing us with this name, but he's actually going to shift it? And then I'm like, oh no, this is okay. I kind of like this. I like this angle. So how did the name of the series evolve and what was it before?
Okay. That's not the question that I thought I was going to answer today.
Nice. Thanks for Kyle.
Thanks for throwing a curveball, Kyle. Okay. So originally, really, it did start with thinking about the movie Ratatouille and thinking about how in the movie it was really about this change in perspective and looking and how we look at people, right? And kind of resonating that with in the Bible, how God seems to have a habit of choosing people that the world would overlook or the world would say they're not good enough, and he chooses them to do something great. And so originally the title was Anyone Can ... And there were going to be different things like anyone can be a mighty warrior, or anyone can be the king, or anyone can be kind of following the same lines, but in having a title at the end. Yeah. But then as I was going, Karis at home kept saying, Daddy, I was cooking. Daddy, I cooked that. I cooked. And I was like, oh, I guess cooking means a lot different or you know, it doesn't necessarily mean like making food or things like that. So it's like, okay, I guess I could use cook. Anyone can cook, and we'll just tie it in like that, and we can make it more fun. And I met with Brandon last week, and as we were sitting there, we were talking about it, and I was kind of bouncing some ideas off of him, and then the idea of like actually using Remy the Rat and all that stuff. It's like, oh, we can actually make this fun, and then. Since Brandon was meeting with me, he's like, hey, can you actually be the voice? And he's like,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So it turned out pretty good, I thought. And yeah, so the series Anyone Can Cook, we're going to be looking at different Bible characters. And that's one reason that Steph is here, because had a meeting with her. She's going to be a guest speaker for Multigen in one of the coming months. So you'll have to check it out.
Not even saying which month. I like that. I'm not, more of a teaser.
Yes. That's how we do it here. We kind of throw things out and let everybody have to guess when it is.
All right.
So you have to show up for the next few multi-gens to see which one Steph is going to be speaking on. But we were meeting about what she's going to be sharing on when she's speaking. And yeah, it totally fits. It's the Lord really downloaded a bunch of stuff for her, and it's going to be really good. So I'm really excited about it. So you should be really excited about it too. So you should show up for the next few multi-gens.
Okay, now stop talking so I can host again. All right.
Gee, thanks.
Well, I mean, come on. Like, we got to get other voices in. So Steph and Brett, thoughts on the sermon, the message yesterday, and just and the engagement with the kids and the adults. What'd you guys feel?
I thought... I think ever since we've been intentional with refocusing it and kind of recalibrating it to the original purpose of the multi-generational services, I feel like each one has done a good job of trying to do that. Mm-hmm. I do think Damon probably does it the best, just out of his creativity, his vision for it. I mean, I'm saying that, and I spoke at one of them, and I know for sure he did better than I did. It's a tricky one.
It is, for sure.
You think...
It's not a competition, though.
No, I'm just saying the way that you're able to do it, like, I think it just fits well, and it doesn't seem like you're trying to make the service something. It's just how God is orchestrating it, where I feel like for me, there's like an adjustment because it's like either I'm thinking too much or trying to fit something for the kids. And then it's like, oh wait, but then I have to still. So there's a lot of like, it feels a little more robotic where I feel like when you're able to transition to different parts of it, even though you know, like, okay, this is maybe more geared for the kids, there's still a receptive nature to it for the adults. And so I thought this one was interesting because you talked to me about it a little bit, and I didn't know how, in the midst of all the stuff we're doing at church and then ending the series on the fruit of the Spirit, I didn't know like how it'll jump because these only happen once a month too. So to introduce kind of like a new series that's once a month in the middle of finishing off God, all of that, I was like, I don't know how he's gonna figure that out. But I think he did a pretty good job. I think you did a good job of getting that done and introducing where we're going next. And I like to see how involved, especially like your kids are. And then one thing I noticed is just from talking to other people, I've heard it's inspired other kids to want to have more involvement in opportunities and things like that. And so just a quick plug for what Cameron shared and the Easter thing. I think the kids are really excited to be able to do that. And so, I think that's one of the kind of fruits of the multi-generational services, this opportunity for kids to step in and step up and participate and be more engaged. And so I think it's doing a pretty good job of what the goal and the focus is.
Yeah, I think it's cool because I was talking to a guest of somebody from our church that was there for the first time, and they came on a multi-gen service, right? And so I was asking the gentleman, and what'd you think of the service? And he goes, I liked it. And I said, yeah, it's kind of chaotic though too, right? And he goes, yeah, it's different having the kids in there, but he's like, but this is really good. Like, he's like, it's not what you would expect at a church. And it is, it's interesting because you have to have that mindset of, okay, this isn't like quote unquote normal, but there's a big value that's missing in a lot of churches, that they don't value doing church together. They don't value the kids being in there. Even the disruption and the being somewhat uncomfortable with the, you know, the actions of the kids, that he was able to even look past that and go like, oh no, this is good. So I thought that was a pretty cool comment. How about for you, Steph? What were your thoughts on the direction for this series?
I mean, I love it because that's a lot of my just belief and value in kids ministry, that like there is no junior Holy Spirit, that the kids bring something to our church family that is just as important as any adult. And that the Lord could speak through them and partner with them to do something just as powerful as anyone else. So when I heard about the new series, I was super excited about it.
And that's one of the ways that I got her to say yes.
Nice.
Well,
nice.
I didn't give you an answer right away, too.
You did one of those Christian things? Yeah. Like, let me discern. Let me ask the Lord.
I'm going to pray about it.
Pray about it.
But she actually did.
But I know.
And I'm not saying every time that somebody's not, but you can use that the other way, too.
Oh, for sure.
And the Lord gave her a lot of downloads.
All right.
Yes.
Good.
Yes, he did. But I even told Damon, I think, was it maybe a couple months ago when Ollie did it with you? I think it was later that week. Brinley kept talking about some rainbow guy at church with a really loud song. And I was just like, what are you talking? Because I'm not always even in there during multi-gen. Sometimes I'm doing things in the back or meeting with someone. And so I think that week I wasn't even like in that service. So I was like, what is she talking about? Like, so confused. And the boys were like, she's talking about Uncle Ollie, like from church. So I thought that was even cool that, you know, the 3-year-olds are it's sticking. Mm-hmm. And it's not just they're, you know, there and being distractive. But
yeah, that's cool. It's interesting that I think these kind of messages, excuse me, speak to the kids and they captivate them. And I thought it was great when you had the mouse underneath your hat. I mean, I think that really got the kids' attention. And then like the voice, I mean, that was really good. So good job with that. But I wanted to share that at our emotionally healthy relationships class after service. So shout out to that group, the listeners that are listening right now in that class. You guys are doing good. But someone at my table said, oh, I'm actually really interested to see where this series goes because I feel like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm not important enough or special enough or unique enough or like, so sometimes I doubt like how can God use me? So I thought, oh, okay. So the adults got the message too. Like it's not just for the kids. We need to captivate them in a special way to kind of keep their attention there. But oh, the adults need to hear these same truths.
Yes. I mean, really, that's something that I really appreciate about giving or having more responsibility in the multi-gen is that I feel like really my heart is for our whole church family. It's not just for the kids. It's not just for, you know, the adults. It's for the whole church family. So I do want to make sure that we have something for the kids, but also something for the adults too. And Steph, kind of like you were sharing with Brinley, someone else that I really stands out to me about something that happened to them when they were about 3 in a multi-gen service was someone who just got baptized was Christian Machika. And a story that really keeps coming to mind was a time where Pastor Barry during a multi-gen was talking about God creating the galaxies and the stars and everything. And he had all these pictures of galaxies. And then later that week, Trish had told me that she saw Christian coloring. And she's like, what are you coloring? He's like, something that Pastor Grape said. And she's like, Pastor Grape? What are you talking about? You know, Pastor Grape from church. She's like, oh, you mean Pastor Barry? Oh, yeah, yeah, that him. He was
Pastor Grape.
Yeah. Well, it's okay, a 3-year-old.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Christian about that one later.
Anyway, but he was drawing the galaxies that he saw on the screen. And she was like, wow, he's actually following along with what's going on at church. And she had that kind of changed her perspective because she's like, oh, before, multi-gen's kind of crazy. All the kids are in there. They're running around. But to see that the kids can actually get something out of it that's memorable and lasting, it's like really that's one of the things that I wanted to bring into these multi-gens is are there certain things that we can help them to hold on to and to take away from? And so, yeah, that's exciting to me to hear stories like Brinley or to hear stories from other people that they're taking these things home, whether it's an adult or a kid. I think it's pretty cool.
So I'm not really sure where to go with this. I didn't know I was going to host until about 5 minutes before.
Well, at least you got 5 minutes because the original, I was going to spring it on you in the right at the intro of the episode. So
I was in a goofy mood because I just finished a 3-hour elders meeting. So I'm like, okay, let's have some fun. And now I got to like get my mind back into it. So, okay. So Damon and Steph, this is to you. I don't know how much you can spill the beans, but like what types of characters or what types of things are you trying to pull out for the people to see? Like, is it overcoming physical limitations? Is it societal views? Is it, you know, specific roles in society or different things like that? Or are there certain ones that, whether you can say character names if you want, or if you want to keep that for more of a surprise, that's fine. But are there things that you're seeing that, oh, these types of things would match with where we are as a society, even as the Christian church, that things that people need to see and hear?
For me, one of the big things is really changing how we see each other. And especially for me, one of the big ones is how we see our kids and to raise that level of honoring, you know. So afterwards, I'd been kind of sharing with my kids to get some of their feedback in terms of prepping for this message. And after the message, Dylan was like, Daddy, you told me you were going to talk about this, and you didn't even mention it at all. And you had a lot of extra time. You could have kept going.
Dang.
I was like, okay.
Accountability.
I know. I was like, oh, man. I was so trying to focus on all these other things that I kind of didn't cross my mind. So I could talk about it on the podcast. But anyway, one of the things that we were going to I felt like we should talk about was how, you know, when Jesus was in his hometown, they didn't honor him. And when they didn't honor him as the Messiah, he wasn't able to do many miracles there, right? And he was able to do miracles in all these other places, but it says specifically that when he was in Nazareth, he wasn't able to do very many miracles. And a lot of it was just the way that they viewed him, right? They saw him growing up. They're like, oh, this is just Jesus. This is our friend. Or this is that someone in a sermon that I heard was like, this is just that snotty little kid that, you know, was running around with those other kids, right? And so because of their paradigm, because of their perspective, because they didn't honor him, he wasn't able to do the miracles there. So really they were missing out on the blessings that he could bring because of their perspective and perception of who he was. And so I think sometimes that happens with us too, is that, you know, kind of like Steph was talking about earlier, oh, those are just kids, you know, I'll interact with them as if they're kids. But what would happen if we really changed our perspective on them and honored them and said, the Holy Spirit that they have in them is the same Holy Spirit that's in me. Maybe I can receive a blessing from them. And so that's part of why we had that activity at the end of service where I had the kids, you know, either write a name or draw a picture on the card and to give it to the adults, just to practice that we can receive from them too, you know, and the Lord can use them or partner with them. I'm saying that because Steph and I had a discussion about that earlier. She can elaborate a little bit more, but the Lord can partner with them to give a blessing to someone else too. And so the Lord can choose whoever he wants to partner with. And it's not always the strongest, biggest, smartest people. It's oftentimes it's the children, or oftentimes it's the people that the world says aren't the ones that you would normally pick.
So, Brett, you can be thinking too, but Steph, what kind of thoughts do you have on like the direction for these types of characters that we're going to highlight in the Bible?
Yeah, so when Damon asked me about this topic and to share or speak on a multi-gen, I hesitated because, like, when I share something or in a more like corporate way, I want it to be something that God's already speaking to me about, something that I'm already kind of walking in. I don't want to just have to go research a random topic someone's telling me to.
So she's happy we didn't ask her for a fruit of the Spirit because she didn't want to do patience and she didn't want
to. Yeah, definitely not that one. But yeah, so that's why I didn't say yes right away, because I was just like, I don't really know if God's been like specifically talking to me about that recently. And I didn't want to have to manufacture something. So turns out, you know, next day I start getting downloads, or he just starts talking to me about highlighting all these different ways that, you know, the Lord saw something in someone that no one else saw or expected. So my characters, I'm not going to say who they are. Damon, he's like looking at me like,
I know. I don't want you to spill the beans.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying who they are.
But
it's a trio of them.
It's cool because they are some of the lesser known characters or lesser talked about characters. So I think that's going to be an exciting thing about this series too, is that there's an openness to learning about characters that we don't normally hear about. And so I'm excited because Steph's fit that category. So I think it's going to be really cool for our people to hear about some of these characters.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a trio of characters, and it's not Shadrach, Meshach, and
or Hananiah, Azariah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm excited. It's really just God was highlighting, like, we could be, you know, asking him for something or wanting something, and maybe he doesn't give it to us right away, but it's because he has something bigger and better. And who he chooses to speak through or just show himself to may not always be, you know, who anyone would expect. But just being able to recognize what God's doing and how he's showing up, even though you're not, you know, expecting it in that way. So Damon's laughing at me. Am I saying too much? Are people going to know?
No, they're not going to know, but I, I'm laughing because of something that we were talking about earlier that's really funny. That
okay, no inside jokes allowed here. Get out, get out. Brett, hey, what's Brett, let's have a conversation.
Kyle, just start laughing. We'll okay. pretend like I have something funny that you know what I'm saying.
I don't know if you're, are you finished?
Yeah. No. I'm good.
Because Damon interrupted you. And
well, so distracting.
Damon. See, when you're not the host, you get all distracting and like making people feel bad. Good grief, man.
Feel bad? She didn't feel bad.
No. She did. She felt horrible. I saw her. She just had tears forming in the corner of her eye.
I get to be more fun when I'm not the host.
See, now you know what it feels like. Now you know why. Okay, refocus, Brett. Refocus.
The thing that comes to mind to me, and as I've gotten older, I do like the quote, but there's, you could argue with it, but it's that God doesn't just call the equipped, but he equips the called. And so I think there is something to these people that are overlooked or not as well known, where they may not on paper seem like whatever fit the job. And actually, we went over a lot of this with the youth to start the year or at the end of last year. And I think part of it is recognizing that in certain ways of having shortcomings or not fitting the bill or not seeming like the obvious choice almost like allows more room for God to work because you're not so dependent on yourself. And so I think that message for the kids, for the youth, for the adults, is something we could all take away, because I think we all feel that in certain ways in different capacities. And so I'm excited to hear the different perspectives, because even, I mean, to hear about, you know, Damon just sharing about Jesus wasn't honored in his city. It's like, if Jesus was overlooked, then, I mean, that's Jesus, right? And so we all get overlooked, or we all feel like we aren't sufficient enough in certain areas. So I think no matter which character or person in the Bible or story is talked about, we're going to be able to take something away. And yeah, hopefully it does inspire and encourage people to, you know, reckon their identity, but then also step into things maybe that God is calling them to, because even though you may not feel like you meet a certain standard, well, it's like, well, God will kind of fill in that gap for you. So yeah, I think the possibilities are really cool.
All right, Brett, you used a term that I don't know if everybody that's listening will understand.
You jumped in and I was going to say something.
Oh.
Sheesh.
I don't know what term I used.
All right, well, you said reckon your identity. So if that's a new term for you, if that's a new term for you, reckoning your identity, then I'm going to make a plug for my class.
Do it.
And you should take our identity exchange boot camp class. I'm thinking it's going to be a really good class. So if you are having I don't want to say problems, but if it's difficult for you to align your identity with how God sees you, then this is going to be a good class for you. And you will learn what reckoning your identity means.
Okay back
now
to
it's
my
your
thought.
Turn, Kyle.
when you were sharing, Brett, it also highlighted to me, like, yeah, we are all going to get overlooked or shortchanged or in different ways, but it's like, how do we respond to it, right? Because it happened to Jesus, but how did he respond to it? Did he get a chip on his shoulder? Did he, you know, have a pity party? Did he get angry? I think there was some, like, he had to tell them the truth of what was going on because they rejected him. But it makes me realize too that really it's just about God recognizing us. And if God's seeing us and nobody else is, or they're slighting us, yeah, we can still be like, okay, but I'm doing what you're calling me to do, and I'm being obedient. I think that's a big concept for us going forward, is just being obedient to the Lord. I think that's it's a hard place to be because in our flesh and even in society, we're supposed to get recognized. We're supposed to get what's due us, but that doesn't always happen. And how are you going to handle that? And how's it going to affect you on the inside? Yeah. So I did want to say one thing about what you shared earlier, Steph, about being hesitant to step into Damon's invitation because you haven't experienced it yet. So I've got to the place where it's kind of like what you were talking about, Brett, about God equipping the called, where asking the Lord, like Barry said, Barry would ask me sometimes, like, oh, do you want to speak in this series? And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like I've experienced it or this or that. But then I've also had it where I haven't, but I feel like I'm supposed to. But then in the journey of preparing for it, it's like, oh, I needed to step into it, into the commitment, so then that could be revealed to me. So it does happen both ways, but I prefer the way that you were describing.
Right.
that's my favorite. But I've seen the other way. It is actually more growth for me personally and my faith of like, okay, God wants me to do this. But I like same thing, I don't want to manufacture it. I don't want it to just be like my head. So, okay, God, well, it's kind of dangerous, but can you make this real to me? It's like, oh, shoot. But yeah, it always ends up being really good. I'm going to throw it to Damon because he was laughing again, and so he has some kind of thought to share.
Well, I was just laughing because I'm really enjoying being a part of this episode. But, you know, for me, and Kyle's blowing bubbles again.
That's why you're happy.
See,
it's
just all fun today. But, you know, really, I think for us and for the direction that we're going with this series, one of the things that, you know, I really want us to kind of be intentional about is challenging the ways that we see the world right now. Mm-hmm. Right. And so challenging the things that we value, challenging the things that we're giving honor to, mm-hmm. and the place that they have in our life. And so if we can do that in this series, then I think that's going to be a really good thing. Because sometimes it might just be challenging it, and it's like, yeah, I am on the right path. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be challenging it. Oh, nope, this isn't right. I need to shift. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's going to be one of the directions that we're going to try to go, is try to help people to be able to discern, is this the right thing or is this not? Is this something I need to challenge? Is this something that, I'm doing a good job in it. And so that's part of what I think is going to be at the heart of this series. So Steph, can you share a story that you shared with me a little bit earlier about sandcastles?
Oh, yes, I've been reading this book and I revisit it from time to time. It's called Heaven Awaits the Bride, and it's this lady had this. It's unclear whether it was a vision of heaven or if she actually like went there, but from the way it's written, it's almost like she was physically there. Like, and literally half the page is footnotes of references to in the Bible of like what she's seeing, like whether it's symbolism or just like certain types of smells she's smelling or different types of like, or just all these different details of what she's seeing. So seeing that makes me feel better about reading it, that it's not just some lady making up all these crazy things. But so she interacts, she sees Jesus, she goes to the throne room of God. She meets all these different angels. She even, like, Jesus even shows her, like, Satan's, like, castle, and she sees what he looks like. And, like, it's very eye-opening. But again, you know, you gotta just take it with a grain of salt. Like, it's not the Bible itself. But so she has this interaction with this angel who is like a child. She's like, she looks like a six-year-old. And she meets her and she says, oh, like, come play with me. So she's like, okay. Like, so she follows her and she takes her to this like sand, like oceanless beach. So it's like sand everywhere. And she said it looks like people abandoned their sand toys there, like just buckets and shovels everywhere. And then she's like, do you want to build a sand castle with me? And this lady's like, no, like, not really. Like, And then she's like, yeah, it's pretty silly, isn't it? Like, that's what man does on earth with their life. They spend their whole lives building these temporary things. And when it's all just going to be washed away and it's like not eternal, basically what she's saying. And then this lady's like, you know, she's like, I felt like I got punched in the stomach, like with the realization and just this convicting, like, yeah, like that's what it is in an eternal perspective, a heavenly perspective. It's like, what are we building and what are we building for?
Yeah. What things last, what things matter. Yeah. Do you have thoughts, Brett?
No, that's a pretty deep image versus laughing about a sandcastle. Then it's like, yeah, that's what man does. It's like, oh, man. I guess I'm building a sandcastle and I don't even know it.
Yeah. You got set up. Yeah. that's powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. I had a thought early on when we were just starting our discussion, hearing about like your heart for resetting like where we're going with multi-gen services. And I thought, wow, this perspective, I kind of just want to throw it out there and then get your guys's, or I'll give you like a question to ponder. But it's a platform where we can give kids opportunity to even break through some fears, break through, you know, speaking in front of people, being up in front, and, you know, those kind of things that socially it's sometimes hard for kids to have a platform to experience that and practice it. So I think it's really cool. I actually got a card from somebody, and it was a Bendigo. So it's one of that. I'm like, oh, is that going to be what you're talking about? But it was interesting because your instructions were: look at the words, the names on the screen, and what's one that stands out to you. And this kid didn't know that name, or at least he didn't recognize it, I would say. So he put it on the thing and gave it to me, and then I said, "Oh, why did you pick this?" And he was like, "I just don't know, but I just don't know who this is." And so then I'm like, "Okay." And then I actually just encouraged the kid to pray for me, and he's like, "Okay." But then he didn't say anything, and I said, "Oh, are you okay?" And he goes, "I don't know what to say." And I'm like, "Well, it could just be really short, like, God, can you bless Uncle Kyle?" And he's like, "Can you do that?" Okay, yeah, I can do that. So then he did, and then he went back to his seat, right? And it was like, oh, yeah, that just helping him get over that hurdle of, okay, how do I go pray for somebody? I don't know, like, what words do I need? And I don't know, just, like, probably the things that are going through his head. I did think it was interesting because then I felt like it was about courage, right, about God gave them boldness and courage. So I thought it was for me, and I thought, oh, I think it's for this person too. And so I went back and sat next to him, and I said, oh, do you know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fire? And he's like, oh, that's one of my favorites. And I said, oh, that's this. He's like, oh, I didn't recognize that was the name. He knew the story, but he didn't recognize the name as it was spelled out. So I'm like, oh, actually, so there was an attachment to him beyond just, I don't recognize it, like that God highlighted that to him. Like that's one of his favorite stories. So I thought it was really cool that we're giving kids opportunities to do this kind of stuff where, if we just leave it up to normal chance or society or their school interactions or, you know, or clubs or things like that, they can get some of those, but they don't get them with like a spiritual dimension as well. So for me, I wanted to ask you guys, like, do you remember a time growing up where you either had that or maybe for you growing up, it wasn't like that? And I'll give you a time to think, because for me growing up in my church was pretty conservative. It was the sermon, and we sang hymnals, and kids would leave. I don't know if it was every Sunday, but we had, like, kids' church, like, separate. But sometimes we would stay in church, and then on those ones, all the kids were called up to the front, and we would sit on the steps kind of that lead up to, like, where the pulpit was. And then the pastor would have his back to the congregation, and he would speak to the kids. So we would be facing the congregation, and they would do, like, probably 10-minute, story, right? So they give like a little message to the kids. And then I think it was limited to like, they maybe ask a question or two. And so were you bold enough to raise your hand and maybe get it right or wrong? Or so I think I remember some of that, like wanting to be right. But then at some point it's like, oh, some kids get it wrong. Like, I don't know. Do I want to even do that? So even, but that was the extent of in church, in like more of a corporate setting, like that was the limit of how kids were elevated or viewed, right? So better than not at all, but still like, oh, like the things we're doing are have the potential to unlock things in kids at a younger age. So do you guys have stories about growing up or things that you've seen that impacted you?
I can go first.
Sure.
Yeah, I think one of the blessings for me growing up at Cerritos Baptist was that Joanne really wanted to empower the kids to do more. Mm. And so there were regular opportunities for us to, whether it's, you know, every time we had a Christmas program or an Easter program, like we got to carry the story. So it's like we were a lot of times the kids were the main characters in those things. But then also I do remember a time at church when they'd ask different people to do like the call to worship or the announcements or the offering or things like that, and you know, a lot of times they were scripted, so it was like on a piece of paper, it's like this is the call to worship, it's the same thing every time, so you just go up and you read your card. But as a kid, it's like, okay, I can go up there and and stand there and do that, and then you see your friend doing it, it's like I want to do it next time because they're doing it right. And so it, there was a little bit of not a competition, but it was kind of like, if they could do it, I think I could do it too. And and so
kind of calls you forward. Right?
It gives us more of an opportunity and a courage and a boldness to say, I can do that. I can go up there and I can read the card. Mm-hmm. Right. And so even if it wasn't, you know, going up and specifically like giving a message or doing something like that, it got us up in front. Mm-hmm. It got us to read the card and then sit down. So there was a little bit more comfortability of standing in front of people and talking and things like that.
Yeah, and probably a sense of value too, like being part of the church. You're not just sitting there. You're actually participating and leading.
Yeah.
Right? Steph or Brett, anything for you guys?
I don't remember ever really being involved as a child. Mm. In services or in ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's why, like, when I went to Bethel and I would hear testimonies of, like, you know, they're in Sunday school class and, like, a story is like, oh, one kid said, I see an angel. There's an angel over there in that corner. Mm-hmm. And then so they said, okay, go ask the angel what it's here for. Mm-hmm. And then they go run over to the corner and they come back and they're like, he's here for healing. Mm. And then so they say, okay, like who needs healing? And then whoever needed healing, they went in that corner and they just prayed and they all got healed. Mm. Wow. Like just even little things like that.
That's not just little. I know. Like, yeah,
but just like paying attention to what kids are saying and what they're seeing. It makes me wonder a lot of times about like imaginary friends. Mm. Like, right. Mm. And it's just they get dismissed or like, okay, you're just
grow out of it.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
You're just creative.
Yeah. Because even recently, you know, Brinley's very into imaginary play. And one time she had like her hands cupped and she's like, oh, this is Aya. Mm. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I was like, had her repeat it several times because I'm like, what are you saying? Like, I don't understand. I'm not following what you're doing. And she said, Aya. And then I don't know why, but I felt like that was important. Mm. So I looked it up. I said, what does Aya mean in like Hebrew or like, right? Or that kind of culture. Mm. And let's see, I have it right here. It says, it often is used to represent freedom and the ability to soar to great heights, symbolizing a child's potential.
Huh. Wow.
And she just like had it and she was like playing with it like it was like her friend, like this. And I was like, oh, like, does it have wings? Like, you know, or I said, like, what does it look like? And, you know, just like simple, like just taking notice, I think, of what kids are saying, what they're doing, like songs that they're just like singing. Mm-hmm. Like I had a friend, her daughter kept singing this song over and over, like a chorus of a worship song. And then she's just like, why are you singing that? I think it was like the We Will Not Be Shaken, you know, and she's like, what's coming? Like, but yeah, because I feel like they're just so sensitive. They're so open. And I think to recognize and honor that, that we could receive so much in return. So I think because I never had that experience growing up, like that's why I think I get so excited, because I'm like, oh my gosh, like if they're doing that at five, you know, or six or younger even, and I learned to do that when I was 20 something, like gosh, like how different is the rest of their childhood and, you know, those really hard adolescent and teen years. Like I feel like my life would have looked so different. Or just the way you navigate through all those all those seasons. So,
and even to bring a balance to our logical adult brains, right? Where that stuff just is imaginary, right? Like, but then if you have those significant experiences at a young age, then you can carry that forward. Where you balance, you can have a balance of both, and like that's a huge asset and a huge blessing for a kid like that. Okay, so there, while Brett's still thinking, I can see he's in deep in thought right now for his example. I did have one more that when we were growing up in church, and that was kids choir. Oh my gosh, that was the worst. That was torture. So that was ministry, right? Because you go up there, and so you're part of the service, but not in my mind it wasn't. So that was one other way they tried to fit the kids in. So I give our church credit. I mean, they tried to put kids in certain roles and it was good, but
yeah, I mean that's standard.
That's not for every kid, right? It wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Well, one thing first, I feel like I need to acknowledge the rest of the people that spoke at Multigen, and I said that Damon was the best. I was not saying that you guys didn't do a good job.
I took the arrow and I just moved on.
I was more in reference to myself because that one was tricky. But I want to say everybody else who did it, I know it's a lot to take on. And I also know that Damon appreciates it when other people do it. And so all you others that...
No offense taken.
Yeah. You guys did a good job. Trust me.
I'm pretty sure that everyone that has done it, I've asked them to come back. So if I didn't think they did a good job, I wouldn't have asked them to come back.
Well, I'm just trying to clear my name that I said that I think they did good. It's different when you do it. But if I look back as a kid, I feel like I can't remember when I was really young. I'm sure there were times I did certain things. There's one memory at CBC when my dad was speaking. I remember I was like on his back, like piggyback. And I don't know why I was on stage, but I was up there. I don't know if it was Father's Day or something. But I think as a young kid, I didn't necessarily care for or want to be the person that has the main part in the play needed to be front and center. I didn't feel the need to do that. But I just remember, so there was a time in college, serving in leadership where there was a group of people who actually, as they determine like, or help pick who's going to be on the leadership team, they actually said that they don't think I could be a good leader. Mm. And it was because of just like, I mean, how wild I am, just how much I'd like to joke around. And just like, I didn't fit the typical, like how they view like a Christian fellowship leader. So there was a part of me that was like, all right, I'm going to show you. But there's another part where it did make me question. And then it's interesting because then it comes to Catalyst, and at our church, the reason why I bring that up is the mission of our church. I felt like I was, not just accepted, but embraced for who I was. I mean, if you were at Catalyst earlier, I've been on stage and done some things where I probably would get canceled.
Dylan!
Yeah, I've spoken accents, I've worn a wig and
recorded some crazy videos.
So I've done things where it's like, that's probably not your typical church. You don't want that guy on stage or, but I think in that, there is a almost like what you talked about, brilliant sharing, there's like a freedom that allows you to, and then live out our church's mission to be all that God has created and called you to be. And so I think that's where, for me, I have that heart where I'm serving now with the youth is like, okay, some of these kids or their views of leadership or getting those opportunities, they might feel like, oh, that's not me, or and that's okay. But like, I want to find or find value in the ways that God has designed you to help lead in a way that it might not look like everybody else. Not everyone's going to be Pastor Barry and, right, and be preaching, but there's other ways that you can kind of be a star in your role. And so I think with this theme and this message and just highlighting it and not trying to look at it, not overlook anyone, I think that's a huge heart that I think I experienced in a certain way. And so I want to carry it. I want to carry it out.
Yeah. And I think you're hitting on a good point too, that not everybody is called to be up on stage and we're wired different. And I know that aligns with your heart, Damon, for that service is, hey, let's get the kids running PowerPoint. Let's get youth and young kids like helping out with sound and doing different roles on that day, because yeah, not everybody is meant to be in a specific role. But I, in the same sense, it is nice, I think, for other kids that aren't called to necessarily be up on stage to see their peers up there, because it does give them that, hey, they can do things like that. That's not for me, but like, what else can I do then? Like, well, how can I be involved in this? And I think that's what we want to foster, is not putting them in a box where even they just have to be up on stage doing something, but hey, how else can I help serve the church? Because this is my church too. I know that's, maybe you can share a little bit about that, Damon, but I know you've shared that with me. That's really a part of your heart for multi-gen.
Yeah, I think part of my heart for multi-gen is really, yeah, giving everyone an opportunity to feel like this is my church and I have a role here, and to see what it looks like as they get older to transition to becoming an adult in our church, right? Because we don't want to produce kids that end up becoming consumers at church, right? It's like, I feel like that's big C church, how it's been in the past, where it's, you know, the people in the congregation, they're just consumers, and that's kind of how we raise them as kids too. And so one of the things that I really would like for our church is for our kids to get opportunities to serve, whether it's on stage, whether it's in a musical, whether it's, you know, some of our youth are now helping out with children's ministry, whether it's doing the PowerPoints, whether it's helping to set up or clean up, or, you know, there's so many different roles that go into making a Sunday morning. And with the direction that we're going as a church, more than just Sunday morning, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for them to serve and to participate, and really wanting to raise that level and that value for them of, this is my church. I want, what I do here matters. Me being here matters. If I'm not here, that matters. Right. And so I really want to raise that up in our kids and in our youth, and helping to give opportunities for that. And so if multi-gen is one of the places that we can do that, then that's awesome. And that's one of the things that I hope that it's okay to say is one of our goals for 2026 is, we talked about this morning, but one of our goals for 2026 is to have a fully children's ministry run service where the kids are able to run a whole service by That'd themselves. Cool. So yeah, 2026, we're still in 2025 right now, but I think that's something that we're going to be shooting for in 2026. So that, again, it changes our perception from the adult side of, wow, look at what our kids can do. But then it also changes our perception from the kids' side of, wow, we actually get to participate and, you know, produce something at church and not just always feel like we're the consumers. So those are some things that I'm pretty excited about as we continue to push multi-gen and this idea of walking together as a multi-generational family forward.
It's cool. I like how this episode went, Damon. This isn't a series. We're recording an episode right now. Just making sure you're clear. That, you know, we touched on what you brought forward in your message, but then we're also like reminding people, like, what's the heart behind these services? Because hey, my kids are older now, and I get it. It can be a little more distracting when you're not in the little kid phase anymore. It's like, Ah, man, I remember that age. I remember that stage. I kind of don't want to be in it right now, but hey, you know what? This is part of my family as well. That's part of my church family. How can I make it the best for them? How can we, as a church, as adults, how can we embrace it? How can we raise them up? So I think it's cool just to be reminded of that part.
And I think it's been exciting for me seeing the expectations from everyone changing too. So even the kids, right? When they know it's multi-gen, now they're coming to the front earlier. Mm. Now there is an anticipation of like, okay, well, there's going to be something for me here, right? Mm. So they're not just automatically running around like in the past. You know, I was sharing with some people too. It was one of the most exciting things for me yesterday at the service was looking at how full it was and remembering there's no food today, right? Because I think in the past, if there was no food...
Surprise.
Well, I think in the
past,
we advertised.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it was announced.
We advertised that there was no food. But I think in the past,
gotcha.
On Sundays where it was a multi-gen and there was no food, a lot of people would miss because it's like, oh, my kids are going to be out anyway. Is there a purpose for me going to church? I'm going to be outside. Mm-hmm. Or even if I am in, there's going to be all the kids are going to be running around. Am I going to be distracted? Am I even going to be able to pay attention? And there's no food anyway. So if there's a week I can miss, it's this week. But it was really awesome to me to see it was pretty full yesterday. Mm-hmm. And the kids were engaged from the beginning. You know, I look down at them and they're looking right back at me. And so it's like, okay, they're not just talking to each other on the side. They're not doing these other things. And then hearing people at the end sharing about the different cards that they got or things like that. It's like, okay, cool. The kids are actually engaging and they're doing the things and participating in the lab times where sometimes, you know, in the past we've heard the adults don't like the lab times. So it's cool to see that the kids can lead the way even on some of those. And I didn't hear any complaints about it. So... from the kids, where in the past we've heard some complaints from the adults about lab time. So,
yeah, no, I think we're resetting expectations, right?
Yeah.
And from the kids and the adults, both of that whole service. I think it's not just multi-gen services. It's the way Catalyst is operating in this new facility. I think there's this intimacy. There's a different feel. I think the Lord's presence is very strong as well. And so I think it's cool to see how things are taking shape. So... any closing thoughts from you guys as we kind of just wrap up this episode, but also as we think about where God's taking us, especially on services where we're engaging the kids in children's ministry and youth ministry, where we're engaging the kids and doing things different. Anything that you want to throw out to our listeners as like a little nugget of, hey, this is where we're going.
I have a challenge.
Oh, all right. I like that.
You know, in thinking about the in light of the series and not overlooking people and trying to give kids opportunity, I think one way we can all foster that, and it doesn't have to be in a grand fashion or in a form like a entire service, is one, recognizing like where the kid or the youth or even the adult is at, and certain things that you know, kids do or say, maybe we have some sort of expectation or we think like, oh, that's just normal. Mm-hmm. But I think there needs to be a greater emphasis of like speaking life and affirmation and encouragement. Mm-hmm. I mean, I witnessed Steph do it when we had kids church to one of the youth girls. Mm-hmm. I witnessed some of the youth doing it to kids, and mm-hmm. I think those are moments where you don't recognize like how that could make a difference in their confidence, in their feeling seen, in growing them in like that's one of their strengths. If it's just kind of like, okay, like for example, I taught this past kids church and I don't know what kind of answers I'm gonna get when I get in there. But you know, you ask certain questions and some kids aren't able to answer some. Others are kind of shy, or you could tell they're not really sure if they have the right answer. And so something small, even when they say something and it's a good answer, or you're like, wow, like they really thought about it. Like I want to affirm and encourage them. Like, no, that was awesome. Like the way you shared that or what you talked about. And it's kind of like fostering that, just they're heard and they're seen. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is good. And I think in that it helps build them up to feel like more like I can do that or I can step into that rather than just like no one notices. Or for the kid that gave you the card, mm-hmm. right? He might have been a little shy. I don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. But then to encourage him to sit next to him and to mm-hmm. like, that's going to now make him feel like I know what to say now, or mm-hmm. I can do that. And mm-hmm. now the next time it's different. And so I think in that small way, if you see kids, the youth, different people doing things, like that might be a big thing for them. Mm-hmm. And so to affirm and encourage them in that, because that's kind of investing, I think, in them long term, even though it's like a small immediate thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. No, I think we as adults, we need reminders of, you know, those little things that seem insignificant, like, it's not that big a deal if I do that. No, it is for a kid's confidence, for his character building, for just his future. So no, mm-hmm. that's a good call out to not miss those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How about for you, Steph?
One thing that kind of keep hearing over and over as we were talking, it's like, as we recognize God doing something through other people, or if it's, you know, being open to receiving in different ways, it's really surrender. Mm-hmm. It's surrendering what we think things should look like, mm-hmm. right? It's like, oh, well, God has to, right, only speak to me through like Pastor Barry, mm-hmm. or like only someone on staff, or right, like mm-hmm. It's an openness and it's a surrender, like, God, you do what you want. You speak to me however you want me to receive, and like being open and also just sensitive to that, mm-hmm. to that fact that sometimes it might look like imaginary play, like, you know, with your kids at home, or maybe he speaks to you in a dream, or maybe someone else has a dream, you know, for you, or whatever it looks like. It could, like, God can do anything and speak through anyone. And it's just, are we going to box him in that? Are we going to be open to whatever way he moves? Mm-hmm. So I think surrender and honor kind of go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And I think those things can slip to the back of our mind pretty easily too. So that's a good reminder to make that part of our filter and part of our really like ego check, mm-hmm. you know, like to let certain things go. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one thing that I wanted to highlight too was that we did some games yesterday in service, and we had some people in that were highlighted in the games, like Auntie Dale and Sanjay and Uncle Jesse and John Hino. And if you want to get to know more people at our church, because I always say we have some amazing people at our church, check out Catalyst Stories, or check out the videos, check out Uncle Jesse's Corner. He writes a blog for us, and it helps you to get to know and get to see more of who our people are at our church. And we have some amazing people at our church. And sometimes on a Sunday morning, it's hard to, you know, start a conversation with someone that you don't know or you haven't met before. And these are different avenues where you can get to know them a little bit so that you have some point of connection where you could talk to someone. And, you know, I'm always inspired when I hear or watch those videos or read Uncle Jesse's blog. And yeah, I just really feel blessed to be a part of our church family because we have so many amazing people that the Lord has brought to our church. Mm.
Good word. Being on the introverted side, I sometimes don't act that way, and people think I'm not, but it is hard sometimes to go meet up and get to know people. But I found, like, yeah, some of those podcasts, those videos, it allows me to develop some kind of connection where it doesn't take so much effort and mental part to just go up and have a conversation. Where if I have to start from scratch, it's a lot harder. So yeah, those are great advantage that we have.
People have told me that I don't really know or have met. They're like, I feel like I know you because I've heard you on the podcast. I was like, okay. I'm nice to meet you too.
Do you know me in a good way or a bad way?
I'm like, oh, great. I don't know. Yeah.
They know you a little bit too much.
All right. So do I get to bring us home today too?
If you want to, you can.
I do? All right.
First time ever.
Yeah.
Oh,
see if I can remember how to say it.
Hey, but whatever way it comes out, it's all good.
If not, I might have to correct you at the end.
We might have Damon's voice override at the end. No, this is a good episode. It's fun. I hope you don't speak for a while. That's not because you're not a good speaker. I don't want to do this again for a while. This takes more mental. I wasn't expecting this, man. My mind was already spent a lot today. Yeah, and actually, I just don't want you to speak anymore. So,
all right, then everyone's going to be missing out on the best multi-gen ever.
But no, it's fun. It was cool to have like more of a lighthearted thing that there was. The content was really more about the vision and the direction for where we're heading in this next series. So I like that. I like us sharing our own experiences and our direction. It's really cool to have both Brett and Steph, because that's really the whole gamut of our kids right now, that you guys represent that, and you guys get to share different examples, different things that you're doing, but things that you're seeing in the kids. And so it's good for our, not just our parents to hear, but just our whole church. So thanks for being on. I'm waiting for Damon to cut me off, because I usually cut him off. And so
no, I'm gonna be nice. Oh, not like you.
You just cut me off, dude. I was So yeah, hope you had fun. We were having a good time in here today. But until next time, may you continue to flourish in every season.
Oh, close.
Hey, where's the music? Oh, he was expecting me to biff it. And he wasn't even ready to.
You were close. You didn't
what
get
it. What did I say? Maybe until next time, may you.
You're supposed to say, until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.
Okay. And cue the music. Bye, everybody. Bye.